Paul Meacham Jr. Everyone needs advice. The fact that that is true and that people recognize it is easily seen when you look at the booming business that fortune tellers and witch doctors and psychics are doing today. We want someone to tell us something about our future so that that knowledge might help us to shape our present and have a better future. But what if you could turn to God for advice? What if you could turn to Jehovah Almighty and have Him tell you something now that would help shape not only your time here on earth, but the life that is to come? God has given advice. All we have to do is listen to it, and we're going to today. We wish that we could reach out to each of you in your native language, but we realize that that's simply not possible. So we reach out to you in English. We try to do so very simply and very plainly so that you might be able to follow along and study with us. If you would, please turn your attention to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Last week, we began a study of this very important passage that Paul uses at the very close of his book to the Corinthians. We find that he gives them some wonderful advice, advice that he was guided to give by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this is advice that comes to them, and by extension to us, from God. The command is this: watch ye, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Now, everyone in this life needs advice. The wise man in Proverbs 12 and 15 told us that the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And the best advice, the best counsel, of course, comes from God. Proverbs 19 and verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. We need to turn for advice to God, to the one who has advice that will actually stand. Last week, we began by looking at this verse and seeing that the first piece of advice given is that we should be watchful. Literally, we should stay awake. We need to stay awake because the devil is out there and he wants us. He wants to devour us. Because there is a day coming when the Lord will return in judgment and we will have to give an account for our deeds. Also because there are many, even in the religious world, who simply will not tell us the truth. They no longer want what is best for us and best for our souls, so they will do what is best for them. This watchfulness is very important. We saw that God gave a command to Israel of old, and that they should allow their fields to lie fallow every seventh year. We call it the seventh year Sabbath rather than the seventh day Sabbath. But they neglected that command, and because of it, God punished them, and they spent 70 years in Babylonian captivity. Great destruction were brought to them, and they never again were able to rise as a mighty nation and a mighty people. God punished them because even though He had told them to be watchful about the command He was giving, they were not watchful, and they were punished because of it. We want to avoid that same type of thing in our life. We want to be watchful where God has said. Now, the second piece of advice, and it's our topic for the rest of the study today, is that of standing fast in the faith. If we're going to be watchful, we're going to look out for the danger that's out there, then we need to have the commitment to stand fast in the faith, even in the face of danger. It literally means to persevere without being moved. Sometimes we think of standing fast as a matter of survival, but persevering is more than survival. It actually means to stand and to conquer, and that's what we must do. Now, we can, because we are told to stand in the faith. I want you to notice that we weren't told to stand in faith, but rather we're told to stand in the faith. This means that we shouldn't stand in our own belief or in something that is of our own devising, but rather we should stand in the faith that God gave. Jude refers to it in Jude 3 when he says, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude wanted to write about the salvation they had in common. Instead, he was forced to turn his attention to the fact that they needed to stand and defend the faith. They needed to stand fast in the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, Paul says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. They were standing in the gospel. They were standing fast in the faith that had been delivered to the saints. So we need to turn to God, know what the faith is, And once we know what the faith is, stand fast in it, not in our own belief, not in something of our own devising, but in that which God has already provided for us. Now, we looked at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. We saw there that Paul told them that they were standing in the gospel that he had preached to them. He then, in the remainder of that chapter, teaches them a very important lesson regarding the resurrection, the fact that Jesus actually died on the cross, that he was actually raised from the dead. We're told in Romans that it was by the power of God, and that declared that Jesus was the Son of God. He closes this chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 58, where he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He was telling them to stand fast in that faith. "I've taught you about the resurrection now. Jesus was raised from the dead. Because of that, you can know of a surety that God will raise you from the dead. And now that you know that, stand fast. Don't let anyone move you away from it. Abound in the work of the Lord. Don't just do a little bit of it, but do more and more of it. Abound in the work of the Lord, because the labor that we spend in the Lord's kingdom is not in vain." In Galatians 5 and verse 1, Paul told them to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. When we have sin in our life, it is a yoke of bondage. It is something that ties us down and holds us back. Christ offers us freedom from that. We need to turn to Him, desirous of that freedom, and once we obtain it, we need to be sure that we never turn back to the old way. For when we do, we take that yoke, that imprisonment of sin, on us again. Why would we not choose to stand fast in liberty? That liberty is there. The freedom is available. It's the perfect law of liberty, according to James. And that law has been given to us that we might stand in it and we might remain faithful to God. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, Paul there tells the church at Colossae, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you." Now look at how he describes Epaphras. "Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Epaphras had left the church at Colossae in order to work with Paul, in order to serve him in his efforts for the Lord. And we see that even though he had left them, he had not forgotten about them. He was praying for them diligently, fervently, that they would stand perfect and complete in all of God's will. He wanted them to stand fast in the faith, and that's the same command that has been given to us. Now, one of the best examples that I know of in the Bible of this steadfastness is that of Moses. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, we see that God, through Moses, makes a demand. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." This demand was made through Moses to Pharaoh. In the next verse, we see Pharaoh's reply. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Now Moses at that point could have thrown up his hands and says, "Well, there's no sense in going on with this." But he was there on God's business, and he remained steadfast. We see that God sends plagues against the Egyptians, and that after the plague of the flies, Pharaoh offers his first compromise, Exodus 8 and verse 25. He says, "Go sacrifice to God in the land." God had said, "Let my people go into the wilderness." Pharaoh is saying, "No, go ahead and do your sacrifice, but do it here in the land." Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He will command us." Moses again stood fast. He did not bend to Pharaoh. After more plagues, and after the hail, and after the warning that the locusts would soon come, Pharaoh offers a second compromise. He says, "Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired." But Moses stood firm, for God did not desire that the men go, He desired that all of His people go. And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Pharaoh wouldn't accept that, but Moses would not bend. And finally, after more plagues, including the plague of darkness, Pharaoh offers a third compromise. Go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. Moses here gives us a great example of steadfastness. He says, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Moses was not willing to bend to Pharaoh in any way, not even to the leaving behind of a single hoof. All of God's people and all of their possessions were going to go, because that is what God had required. Oh, that we would all be so steadfast in standing fast in the faith. Today we learn that we must stand fast in the faith of God. We must, because one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14 and verse 10 says, we shall all stand before that judgment seat. Since we will have to stand in judgment, should we not stand in the faith of Christ today?